dressing up on Purim. I have an etza, an idea of why it might be that we do dress up on Purim. Let's just talk about Minhagim for a minute. If you look at Maramachim number one, the three sheets. Got it?
Oh. Okay. I'm not the only person.
Okay. So if you look, there's a lot of minhagim around Purim. One of the minhagim, and the focus is a lot of minhagim is on Amalek. If you look at Tafrei Sadi in the Ramah, okay, this is Maramachim number one. So he says that there's a minhag, there are makin Haman, we hit, some object when we come to Haman, Kishikorn HaMegillah Beis HaKnesses, and despite the fact that it might seem that this is not appropriate for Beis HaKnesses, the Ramah continues, in Levatel Shum Minog Olilog Alav, you should not Mevatel Minogim, you have to take Minogim very seriously, okay, we shouldn't make fun of them. Hilo Lechinam Hukvu, okay, they're not just for no reason. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, so the Ma'aril didn't do it, he quotes, and the Yavetz quotes his father, the Chacham Tzvi, that what he did is he banged his foot for Haman, and the Prima Gadin actually is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in like three or four places, the same Prima Gadin, for different purposes. Basically, Prima Gadin seems to be against it. He said, they're Mevabel and Harbe, in another place the Mishnah Berurah brings down, that's why you need to have a Megillah, of your own, because they're Mevabel and Harbe, and then he has another Prima Gadin he brings down later on, that you should read ahead in the Chumash, so you can, a couple of lines, because they're probably not going to repeat it in a way that you'd be able to hear the entire thing, since you have to hear the entire Megillah. So I actually said, yeah, my Mechum was today, probably, so I dealt with that. So this year is the first time I've actually learned to go with this Megillah, and took them out from beginning to end, and I just kept this Prima Gadin, the Chavetz Chaim, I kept on bringing up the same Prima Gadin over and over. So here's another manifestation of that. And he brings down, if you look in the Be'er Halacha, just the seriousness of Minhagim, to the right, says that the Magen Avraham was Ma'arich and said, even if a Minhag has a Tzad Isser, you shouldn't Mevatel it. He quotes afterwards that it's not clear that that's how we pass him, but it shows you to what extent and how serious a Minhag is. So that's why I want to try to justify what's the Minhag of dressing up on Purim. Does anyone know a reason why we dress up on Purim? Is there any simple reasons why we dress up on Purim?
Yeah, one reason is given is that, to not tell who it really is.
Oh, so there's like a pshat reason, right? It's not to embarrass people, you don't know, it's kind of give them out. You hear another reason?
I always thought it was like, the whole thing with Hashem disguising himself like the whole story.
So Hashem was disguised in the story of Megillah, so too we were disguised. So the reason we try to, it's sort of a mitzvah to go ahead and try to figure out why there's a minhag, because anything that's done by Klal Yisrael has a kedusha, because Klal Yisrael are such holy people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kutu Bichu, Yisrael Chadu, and if they're doing something, that alone makes it worth our research. Yeah?
I heard like a historical reason for that, like in the Middle Ages, like they would do like Purim plays or whatever. And they would also, they'd have like a mannequin Haman that they would hang out. Like, the Christians thought that Haman was like Rosh HaTevot for some, like Yeshua Yimachshav, I don't know.
Oh really?
Yeah, I forget exactly, like not Haman or something, but like, so they thought that they were like hanging Jesus or whatever, and so they would try to come in and arrest the people in the play, so it's like cover for them, they wouldn't dress up, so they wouldn't be able to tell who was in the play.
Right, so today they changed the minute, I guess everyone, all Hasidim dressed the same way, so they still wouldn't be able to tell. You know? The Chapsum, just run into a crowd, run out, that's check, right? So that's where that came from. Now, you justified another minute, Hasidish dress. Okay, so let's talk about the dress. That's in Tafresh Sadivav at the very end of Hilchos Purim. So the Ramah, again, brings down some more minhagin that the minig is lov bosh partsufim, mass, the Purim, the Gever Lovesh Simlas Isha, you can do cross dressing, the Isha Klay Gever, in Isser Badavar, Me'achar Shein Mekavnin Ela L'Simcha Ba'oma, and the Matya, even other things, Kilayim Durabanan, okay, you guys are familiar from Sugyas and Sukkah about damaging other people's property in the course of the Simcha, stealing the esrobes. So that's also Minagon Purim, there's no problem with Lo Sigzol if you go and Chotev something. Okay, all these things need their own analysis on their own. But he does mention the idea of costume. So I want to suggest something that I think is a big issue that couldn't help justify why what the makkah for the costume is. And that is, Amalek appears several times in the Torah. Where does Amalek appear in the Torah in Nach? Where? Shalach, right after they came out of Mitzrayim. Where else in the Nach? Esav's grandchild was Amalek, right? Also, we have it in Shmuel. But there's another Amalek that comes along, and that's the following part in Bamidbar, which, you know, maybe you don't remember. It's in the summer months. So, Vayishma Kanani Melech Arad, right after Aaron died. So, the Kanani, the Melech Arad, Yoshev HaNegev, heard that Aaron died, Kiba Yisrael, and Yisrael coming, Derech HaTarim. He goes out, Vayilachim Yisrael, Vayishma Meneshevi, and he captures a single captive. Okay, so Yisrael say, Vayidar Yisrael Neder, Vadonai Vayomar, Yivnason Titen Esam Hazebi Yadi Vacharamti Esareyan. So, Yisrael say, they make a Neder that we're going to try to capture this Am, okay, and then we will give their city as a cherem to Hashem. So Hashem listened to them. Vayishma Adonai b'kol Yisrael vayitenes kachnani vayichemes and v'sarei vayifashimah makom chorma. So who is this? So l'chora it's Kenanim. It's very, very simple. But then why in the second passage does it say Ha'am? So look at, if you look at Rashi, number 5. So he says, Vayishma ha'knani shama shemes Aaron v'nistalik anani ha'kavot. So he heard that the Jews were vulnerable. And then Rashi says a strange thing. He says, the Amalek may olam ritzua margus li Yisrael mezumim b'chol eis l'kwananus. And Amalek always comes. They are a staff to hurt the Jews. They're always available for a bad time. Wait, we don't mention Amalek yet, right? We're talking about the Kananim. So for that, we need to be filled in by the Medrash. Okay, the Medrash, the next Rashi says, who is the Kanani who's Yoshev HaNegev? Oh, ze Amalek. Why? Because another pasuk earlier in Bamidbar says Amalek Yoshev Eretz HaNegev. So we see that the Kananim who are in Eretz HaNegev, just like the Kanani, it could be a larger umbrella for various nations. So one of the nations also could be Amalek, right? There's Kananim who are like Amalek because they lived in a Negev. So what's the trick here? Vishina es Lishono. So Amalek changed his language. L'daber b'lashon Kanan. So I guess the wars were fought in those days somewhat close. Somehow you would hear that Amalek was talking in a lashon Kanan, but obviously they were dressing in their Amaleki clothes. Okay, or they looked like Amalekim. So why did they do that? They wanted to confuse the Jews. Kadeshu Yisrael Mitzpahal Kadesh Baruch Hu Vaseis Kanani Behem. Somehow they would hear the Kanani language. The Jews would say, the Kananim are coming to attack us. Let's daven to Hashem. They daven for the wrong people, so the God's not going to come through. And then Amalek will be able to finally win. Okay? So the Yisrael didn't fall for this trick. Ra'u Yisrael Levushen Klevushi Amalekim. They saw they were dressed like Amalekim. And Lashonim was Lashon Knan. So Am is Pawel Stam. That's what that pasuk says. Yinasan Titeh Nes Ha'am Hazeh B'yadi. Right? It doesn't say, if you give me these Knanim, it says Ha'am Stam, whoever they are, and Kain Hava, and they won. The Yalkut Shimoni, if you look, he quotes also this idea. Okay, look at A in the Yalkut Shimoni. Me'olam Ayam Malek Makas Margus Yisrael. Wherever you find the Jews stumble on some kind of Aveira, etc., Amalek is right there. Kevin Sha'amru Hayesh Hashem Bekirbenu in Bishalach. They said, is God with us? Amalek comes right after them in Refidim. And here also, they bring an example, they bring other examples as well. Okay? So if you look, there's another girsa of the same Medrash Rashi brings down in B in the Yalkut Shimoni. Okay, look in the Yalkut Shimoni where I wrote a B. So it makes it turns out to be a Machlokes Tanaim. Okay, about what were the Jews confused by? I'm Rav Yehuda Bar Shalom. Lavush Kanani Lavash. Okay, the nation of Amalek wore the clothes of Kananim. That's a little easier because then it sounds like why didn't get fooled? Like the hearing thing doesn't sound so right to us. The Lama Tzichas Kananim, but they learn how to talk like Kananim. Okay, they learn how to talk like Kananim. Vayamidaber b'lushonam shlo yakiro sa Yisrael ubechol shah huba. You hear that? The Yalkut Shimoni adds, and Amalek is always there, ready to come. Right here, they stumbled. Okay, and something happened. Aaron went. Okay, the Jews, they had a merit in that episode. Okay, and right there on the spot, Amalek is there. Chol shav huba. And as another lesson we said before, is a makas manas Israel. We keep on stressing that Amalek, the nation of Amalek, is always available to punish us when we need the punishment. Okay, so where does this all Where does this all come from? Why did Amalek dress up? This whole dress up game. What's the source of all this? Right? It's such a trick. But where did they get this idea of dressing up? So I like to suggest that they learned this from their Zaydi. Okay, they learned this from the Zaydi. Who's the Zaydi? Esav. Okay, how do you know he's a Zaydi? So there's a beautiful description. Okay, in the Yavat Shimoni C. Look at C in the Yavat Shimoni. Okay, just like we have grandfathers and we go to them on holidays. So Amalek sat in the lap of Esav. They spent quality time together bonding, little league, and whatever Amalekites do. Okay, Amar, Esav le Amalek. So Esav is Amalek. You can imagine both of them, they're wearing like a white beater shirt, sitting one here, one there, they have a beard in front of them, and listen to them kvetch. Kama yagasi laharo this Yaakov. I wanted to kill him so bad. V'lo nisan biyadi. Tein dasva l'vos nikmasi. Now it's very interesting. A grandfather also implies something. What does a grandfather imply? The fact that it wasn't Alifas, it was Esav. Like what? It was Amalek. Like a grandfather represents sort of a chain. Just like we have Avos. Well, they also have Avos, right? We have Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Achut, Hamishulash, Lovim, Herodi, Natek. Right? They also, it's their legacy. Esav is trying to inculcate Amalek with his legacy. So let's learn a little about the deception that Esav had. So this is familiar to us. This is Mar Makom 7. Vayigdulu ha'na'aru. Okay? The boys grew up, Esav and Yaakov. Vayihi Esav ish yodea tzayid ish sadev Yaakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. Okay? So he was yodea tzayid. Rashi says, Fatsuru Ramos is Abi Bifiv. He knew how to trick his father. He would ask him questions. Abba, Heyach Ma'asin is Hamelach, Les Ateven. So Kasavur Abi, Shumidaki Nisus. He already was involved in deception. Okay? His father totally conned Yitzchak into thinking that he was Midaki Mitzvahs. As opposed, what's the Isadeh, by the way? Isadeh, what was it? He says here, he was at Adam Batel, Suda, Bakashas, Bakashto, Chayas Ophos. What, if he was a tzayir, that's also deception. Why? You have to fool the animals. You have to camouflage yourself. Hide your net. This and that. It's the perfect job for an Esav. So he's a tzayir in all respects. He knew how to trick to get his will. Okay? He can trick his father with deceptive questions. The animal didn't know what was coming when he was coming after them. As opposed to Yaakov. Yaakov is an ishtam. Rashi says, Eino baki b'chol eila. Ela kalibo kim kiv. Yaakov is teaching MS Yaakov. No deception. Whatever came out of his mouth, you knew that was what was on his heart. Different person than Esav altogether. Okay? And again, Befiv, the next pasuk says, Vayehav Yitzchak is Esav, Kitzai Befiv. So what's Befiv? Rashi says there, Befiv Shel Yitzchak. The Medrash says, Sheyatzad Oso Mrameu Bidvarov. So again, the idea that all of the relationship that Yitzchak would relate to, how he related, Esav, how he related to people, was through trickery, deception. As opposed to Yaakov, who's all that MS, Pivli Boshava. And furthermore, the next thing we learn about Esav, in Mar Makom 9, Esav was 40 years old, and he took Yehudis, and he took Basmas, and they were bad wives. Look what Rashi says in 10. Bein Arbaim Shana. Esav Hayah Nimshal L'Chazir. Esav was like a pig. Shenema Yichash Semena Chazir Miyar. HaChazir Hazeh, Kishu Shochev, when he lays down, he stretches out his hooves and says, look, I'm kosher. Says, Rei, I'm kosher. Ani Tawar. So, hit in 2. Kach Eilu, Golzim V'chomsim, Umarim Atzim K'sherim. By the way, Eilu, it's interesting that Rashi switches to plural. He's telling you more than, it's not just Esav. It's what his people are like. It's what he gave to his kids. They are chomsim, and they act as if they're kosher. Okay? Kol Mem Shana, all 40 years of his life. Esav Tzad Nashim, Itachas Yad Ba'aleyam. Again, it's a deception. He came as if he was like a nice mensch, etc., and the person would befriend him. The next thing you know, he lost his wife to Esav. That's the kind of person that Esav was. Kishab ben Arbaim, more tricky. Turned 40, says, my father got married, I'm kosher. My father got married at 40, I'll get married at 40. Again, he's trying to show he's kosher, but in the end, he's all about deception. That's what Esav is all about. Okay. So, the question is, so when does Esav have the ability to attack? Right? In other words, so we see that Esav represents that dishonesty, the deception. We see that Esav, his descendants, who he bequeathed this to, dress up in order to involve himself in deception. When are we vulnerable to attacks? We saw that he's always there. He told his grandson, always be there. Whenever the Jews mess up, you be right there and take care of them. So, if you look at number 11, this is the Parsha of Zachor. Okay? The Parsha of Zachor is preceded by the Parsha of Mishkalos, honesty in weights and measures. Look what it says here. It says, you're not allowed to have in your kis of Evan, Gedola, Ktana, Eifa, Gedola, Ktana. The Evan that we use has to be Shlema and Seder. Okay? That's the kind of Evan that we use for weights, right? In the old days, they would put a weight on one side of the scale. Let's say you took that weight and you put it into salt. It would weigh more, okay, by being nitman and salt. You can deceive. People think that your measure is honest, okay, but it's not honest. Okay, why? Because this is a toeva. Ki tovas Hashem alokeh kol asa'ela kol asa'avel. And then we have the zachor as asher asa'alecha amalek. So Rashi picks up on that. I'm sure you see where I'm headed here. In Zion number 12, he says, im shakarta b'midos u'b'mishkalos. Okay, if you're dishonest when it comes to weights and measures and business, you should worry then about the oyeg. Dishonest weights are the tov Hashem. Okay, and then Esav comes. And what's interesting is in the parsha, okay, it says Asher korcha baderech vayizadne b'cha kol nechashalim acharecha v'ataya ayev v'yageya v'lo yare elokim. You were tired and weary, and you did not. And Rashi says Esav did not fear God. Okay, but the Rosh says, what's lo yare elokim? Is that Yisrael did not fear God. See, Pirish Rashi, number 12b. V'lo kaya Yisrael. Okay? And then he goes on to say further, you were not afraid of God. How? Lo yare elokim b'mishkalos. Okay? You were dishonest. Okay? In your mishkalos. And that's why Amalek came. So, it's interesting. I also saw that in the Psak of Shlomo Zalman, in the Shulchan Shlomo, we saw it earlier this year, that a person, if a person has kavana in the parsha of Amalek, for lo yare elokim, that it's going on Yisrael, not like Rashi Yisrael. It's interesting that you could think that would have a nafkamina. I wouldn't have even thought of it. Right? There's different perushim and everything that's going on here. But if you're saying, the lo yare elokim is going on, like the Rosh Hashanah, it's going on Yisrael, and the Jews were not yare elokim, then maybe you weren't Yotze. It's like, if you learn Kriya Shema, you learn Parshanut, it could very well be that every single day if you have the kavana of the wrong Risha, maybe you're not Yotze. Right? There's different kavanas that you can have during Kriya Shema. Okay, Rashi himself brings two, so what are you supposed to think about? So look it up. I think it's in the Tzanach, and the Mishnah Berurah discusses that issue. Okay, so now I want to show, there's a serious question here. It's saying that the reason Amalek comes is because of dishonesty and weights and measures. But like, they didn't have weights and measures in the desert, L'chaira, right? When Amalek came, right? It says why he came. They said, because Hashem, we want to see Ayesh Hashem Elohim b'kirbeinu im'ayin, and Rashi over there says, and therefore Amalek came because we distrusted God, and that's why. So what does that have to do with dishonest weights and measures? The only example that we have of when Amalek came so far, obviously there's two, there's also this Vayishma Kanani, but when it comes to Parshas Ki Teitzei, the main Amalek fight, there was no problem of weights and measures. So what does that have to do with anything? Okay? So he asks that question, he's a Kli Yakar, in Malcolm 13. So he says like this. He says, people who are dishonest, look at the middle line. Kach amar l'ramayim eilu. This is what Hashem is saying to people. The whole message of the link between dishonest weights and measures and Amalek is as follows. Hashem says to them, Atem osim v'seser oshek v'gezel. You are privately involved in theft, in gezel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sholeach asoni asher yikach kol asher l'cha b'galui. And then as the mafreya, everyone's going to realize what you've done and how you gained everything v'seser oshek v'lo v'mishpat. So Hashem is saying over here in this message in Amalek, and this is how the Kli Yakar is explaining Rashi, is that Amalek is the perfect messenger to convey that the Jews are being dishonest and not being faithful. And look what he says, a tremendous chiddush. Okay? A tremendous chiddush. Look at the next underlined lines. Okay? It says, Valdabar Zeba Amalek, Shinemar Val Nasosam es Hashem Lemora Yesh Hashem Bikirbenu in Ayin. Vayavo Amalek. Okay, so Amalek came. The Kli Yakar is saying, because they said, is Hashem with us or not? Umasik b'yalkut. Reb Elazar Omer imhu maspik lanu kol tzachinu navda. What do they say? If Hashem can provide us with all that we need for our sustenance, then we'll trust in Hashem. So if a person is holding there, where only if Hashem provides me, then I'll believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then I'm like, what kind of person is that? Look what he conjectures afterwards. It says, Mizeh anu lemeidim, that at the time that Amalek first came, shelo ayu betuchim ba'Hashem, sheitin lahem kol tzacheihem. They said, Hayesh Hashem b'kibeidim ayin. If Hashem can provide for us, we'll go for it with Him. And if He can't provide for us, we won't go with Him. So, Mistama, hayu asukim b'inyanei ramos. So he said, probably, if they were asking these questions, a person who has a problem in his bitachon, if Hashem could support him, is more likely to come to thievery. Why? Because you have to eat, you have a plan, you have a budget, okay? And you count, it's easy to count on a Kaddish Baruch Hu when you have everything you need. But what they're saying right now is like, we don't necessarily count on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Let's see what he can do for us. A person like that who's not counting on a Kaddish Baruch Hu, who doesn't know where his next meal is coming from, he's the guy who's going to steal. So the Kliyakar is suggesting that Taka, that's what they did. The Jews in the desert stole from each other, but how did they steal? Watch what he says. Umistama, you can be in your remotes. They didn't steal directly. They didn't go mug people. Shol yucholim lahotzi mehem b'din. They did it in a way where people would never be able to toveah them. V'asnu ayin shomal. They made it as if the eye of God can't see. Kolo roeh. Kimosh nemar hayesh Hashem b'kibeinu mayim. Let's see if Hashem can see us. Is Hashem here or not? Another twist on the words. Right? Al kein vayavo amalek. Vayilachim et misra berafidim. And chazal were darshin. Vipayon yadayim. What's the Ripayon Yadayim that they had? Something interesting, Ripayon Yadayim from the Torah. What part of the Torah? He says it differently. It's Ripayon Yadayim, Shirafi Yudei Dayaneyam. They made the Dayanim weak, because since the way they stole from people was through dishonest weights and measures and other tricks, okay? So the Dayanim have no recourse. How the Dayanim supposed to go ahead and prosecute person? There's no Edom, no one knows, you can't prove it. So the way the Jews did it was in a way, to go ahead and steal. Like you're robbing someone, like you're robbing a bank. No one's going to really do that. Okay, but a person who gets a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to, when he sees an opening, and he sees an avenue where he can fool someone to get money out of his pocket, he's going to go for it. Okay? And he said, and that, this is next part, next online column is a gem. And he says, and that's why he says, who did they get? Who did Amalek attack and who were they successful? Kol ha-nechashalim acharecha. The people who the Anan spit them out. Why were they spit out? So he says, because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, lo yagur chara, dover shkarim, someone who is a liar, will not be able to be with the Shechina. So what happened? They did this, okay? They did their trick. Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence, the Shechina, is very manifest in the Machaneh, and the Machaneh rejected them. They were outside. Since they were outside, they were nechshalim acharecha. The Shechina, they were tired. Why were they tired? Because everybody else inside the machaneh, there was a cloud on the bottom, and they were being carried, and they had to catch up to the machaneh as it was moving. But these people who were rejected from the machaneh spent the whole day running, trying to catch up to the machaneh because they didn't have all the advantages, and that's why they were vulnerable to the attack of Amalek because of that very reason. So what do you see here? Beautiful piece. He explains. Why is it? What brings on Amalek? So you see that Amalek himself and Esav is a master of deception. And when we imitate him, when we imitate Amalek, we act his ways. What way? By dishonesty and weighted measures. Lacking in bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to steal because I can't rely on anybody else. I can't rely on myself and I can't rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of that, when we are dishonest with ourselves, when we're not honest with other people as well, okay, then that brings on the master of deception of Amalek. If you look at Mar Makom number 14, so there's an interesting halacha that comes up. Ain medakta ki b'malos korim. When a person comes over to you, we don't medakta to see if he's a Ramai or not. Ela koa misha poshet yado lito nosnim lo. Okay, whoever stretches out his hand, you give him. And even Goyim Giv, he says, so what's the Svara here? Why is that on Purim not in Dakik for Ramos? Why should that be Kasha? I mean, the guy's trying to mess you over, like, you can lose your money. It's no reason. So what's the answer? According to the Mahalak we have? Anyone?
Well, why would we give money?
Why would we give without checking the guy out to see that he's dishonest?
That's the whole.
Right. So according to the Mahalach, we're saying here is that when we have an encounter, the lesson you can learn from the encounters that we have with Amalek. Okay, when Esav is dishonest, and when Esav is dishonest, and he's brought on when we're dishonest. So Purim, hopefully, we assume that people will get the message. Okay, that dishonesty and not being able to count on the Kaddish Baruch Hu, okay, a person's going to go try to make his money by trying to get it out of you by claiming that he is a ani. That's a very, very low level of a person. So the point is on Purim, where, say, me, the rest of the year, such a person will do it. But when the message of Purim is out in the open, like it is this time of year, a person's not going to do that. The question is, where do we see this whole idea in the Megillah? We're in the Megillah. So there's a beautiful piece for this, Yosef Lekach, that we can see that the idea that Amalek was also right there, okay, when the Jews sinned, okay, and they sinned in a certain way, and that's what caused the whole problem of Purim that we had to get over. So the Yosef Lekach tries to, I'll say it outside, he basically wants to figure out, there's a Medrash, it says that Memuchan is Haman. Okay, Memuchan was Haman. So he wants to go ahead and try to figure out why did Chazal say that Memuchan was Haman? So the way he derives it, because it says, Akar Dvarim Ha'ila, Gidel HaMelech is Haman. So he says, you would think that just like he had an introduction to Mordechai, an introduction to Esther, you can have a little bit of an introduction to Achashverosh, who Achashverosh, right? You would think like Haman would get an introduction. So he says, Akar HaMasdi, that he's somebody that we met before in the Megillah. So who is it? Well, it's probably not going to be somebody in Parak Beis. It's probably not going to be Big Ten of Parak because they're dead. Okay, so let's go back to Parak Aleph. Okay, so Parak Aleph, we have a whole bunch of Sarisim and people. Well, Mahuman, he's a contender because he has like the Osios of Haman, right? But he wants to show that it's actually Mamuchan. Why? Because the Pasuk here says that Gidel HaMelech is Haman, and he raised him up, Me'al Kol HaSarim Asharayito. So who is the last of the people who is mentioned? It was Mamuchan. What did the Gemara learn from that? What lesson does the Gemara learn from the fact that Mamuchan was the last one mentioned in Takahis Haman? That becomes your head, your kofitz arosh. So the lowest person jumps to the high sometimes, right? But the point is, if you would have said he was the third or fourth or first, it wouldn't be Shaykh that he was Megad Haman, all of the Sarim of Sharayayito. But once, so who's the most likely contender to be called the one who the king rose, embraced him above all that were above him? Well, you take the guy who was at the bottom of the list of the seven, and that was Mamuchan, and then he was brought to the top. So it's a very cute shot how to explain the Chazal. But what do you see for our point? You see that was the Suda, one of the two opinions of why the Jews, you know, had this whole problem where Haman wanted to kill them, was because they were Nene from the Suda of Achashverosh. And who was managed right there at the Suda? It was the Zera Amalek who was listening to his destiny, which was, always be there when the Jews are in trouble. Because then you'll be the one. And what happens? He was right there, so Kadosh Baruch Hu sees, you know, actually Kadosh Baruch Hu, this was his destiny, but Kadosh Baruch Hu decided at that point that the Jews were Mechayev Kliya, destruction. So then Kadosh Baruch Hu, the next step is, he is Makdim Ruful Lamaka, that's Parak Beis. But Haman was right there. The Jews did their act right in front of Haman. And why was their act? Why did their act dafka merit Amalek? There's lots of things the Jews did bad. They did avodah zarah and it brought them to Babylon in the first place. The answer is: what did they do? That was an act of deception that then brought on Haman and Amalek with his deception with his legacy of deception to overcome it. What did the Jews do that was deceptive? So the answer is that 70 years they're in this country, they were pretty good for 70 years, and now all of a sudden they're mixing with the Goyim as if they're one of the Goyim. Now all of a sudden we're like one of them. There's no difference between Jews and Goyim. We're going to eat, you know, the kosher food will be acceptable. We can mix and we can. So right there, when the Jews are trying to fool themselves to think that they are just like the Goyim around them. Because but right there, at that very moment, it's the perfect trigger for a mullet. Because when the Jews act deceptive, when they're dishonest in weights and measures, when they have no bitachon in Hashem, and they act as if they can count on something besides Hashem, and here we see when they act like goyim themselves, okay? That is the trigger, that is mamish, the trigger for a mullet. Okay? If you look at number 17 and 18, so this idea, I think, further complements it, how switching appearances is what we're working about here. So number 17 says, Shmuel says, bring out Agag, Melech HaMalek. Okay, so he brings out Agag. Shaul had mercy on him, but Shmuel's not going to have mercy on him. Vayelech, I love Agag Ma'adanos. We'll see what that means in a minute. Vayomer Agag, Achein Sar Mar HaMavis. Many Perushim on this, but we'll see the Rabbah. And then Shmuel, when he executes him, says, Kasha Shikla Nashim Charbecha, just like your sword caused women to be without sons, Kain Tishkami Nashim Mecha, so too your mother should be like that. Vayishtas of Shmuel, and he kills him. Look at the Rabbah. Amazing Rabbah. He says, Yitachin. This is most likely the way this happened. Sheba Elav, the Nishtal Shalos, will be Kavala, Barzel. Okay? Madanas means he was handcuffed. He was brought out handcuffs. Lemalos mitzvah Shmuel, because Shmuel commanded to get Agav, and they didn't want him to escape. Kidei shelo yuchol livroach, kedam yitchashu ba'adas hina. But Yomer Agav, but when Agav saw Shmuel, what was his reaction? He looked at Shmuel. And what does Shmuel look like? He says, Sar mar hamaves, I'm not afraid of death anymore. Yidmeh she'agav haya yorei, kishi gishu, lifnei Shmuel, aser. So at first Agav was afraid. They're bringing him before Shmuel. He's tied up in chains. Okay? V'nikshar b'kavli barzel. So he thought, at that point, he was going to die. But then, kasher ro'o Shmuel, when he saw Shmuel, whose tzura, whose appearance, I said, tzuras ha'muchachas, al godel chasidus of Rachmanusa. But Shmuel, who's on his face, you could read what a tzaddik he was. You could see what a Rachman he was. You could see what a chassid he was. So Agag looks at him and says that he's in the chains. It's like, oh, sar mar hamavis. The bitterness of death has passed. He's not going to do anything to me. He seems like a very nice guy. Ki nafalti miyad mi shiroi shirachim alai. Because I fell into the hands of someone who's going to have mercy on me. V'kasher hevin Shmuel midvara, when Shmuel understood what he said, okay, achein sar mar hamavis, shehu haya choshev shiinatza yidei Shmuel, and he thought he was going to be saved. Amalo, Shmuel said to him, ein ha'inyan kein. It's not like that. Right, kemosha tachoshev, the way you think. Aval teida ki mots tamus misa achzaris. I'm going to kill you in the cruelest of ways. V'zeh roi lecha mida kineged mida because of what you did, and ultimately vayishasa Shmuel. The Rabbah says chalko becharbo kiloy abokeh eitzim. He cut him in half as if he was chopping down trees. L'malos mitzvah Hashem, and he says there was a toelus in that also to make people afraid. Shmuel wanted people to be afraid to attack the Jews. So it's interesting, Agag was right. He was a tremendous Rachman. And the Rachmanis that Shmuel showed here was the opposite of what Shaul did. When Shaul showed Rachmanis to Agag, Shem says, Alti Rachman Harbe. That Shmuel, with this Lashon of the Rabbag, is really showing this is Rachmanis. You go ahead, you take this evil man, you cut him up like he's a tree, okay? And that's Rachmanis, because when people see that I did that, they're going to see that they will have mercy on our Jews. That's real Rachmanis that he had. So here also, you see that when so many times we come in contact with Esav, there's a sort of a changing of the parsufim. Agag imagines that he looks at the face and things, and he himself was deceived, right? We see that Yaakov was deceived by Esav, who also dressed up. Shmuel here puts on the face of a Rachman, which is actually his face, right? But it fooled him that things are not always what you appear. And I guess we could finish with the idea from Rav Salavechik. Okay, if you look at 16, who is Amalek? A man who personifies total evil. It is a man to whom immorality becomes the norm. Who is Amalek? Of course, it was most probably a Bedouin tribe. However, the biblical verse is quite serious when it says God has declared an eternal war against Amalek throughout the generations. Right? It's a kasha on all of us, right? That, you know, Amalek somehow appears magically in the middle of Golos Paras, and Amalek appears as a Canaan, and Amalek is his own nation sometimes, and, you know, well, how are we supposed to fight Amalek if he keeps on changing form? But that's the whole point. He always will change form. He's going to be there in the form that's necessary, okay, to carry out what's needed as a makkah, as a ritsua, ready for the Jews, like the Yaakov Shimoni described. You should, he's always there. So that means, so you say, oh, there's no Bedouin tribe around here. So he might be Iran right now. So is no, there's nothing, I'm in Europe, I'm cultured. He might be a German. You know, if the Jews will move to China, he might be a Chinese man. Okay, but the point is, this is what Salvation is saying. He changed his form. That's part of his deception. You never know when he's there, but you can be sure that if we do bad, if we act deceptively, okay, we act dishonestly in weights and measures, etc., he's always, a Malik will always be there to get us in whatever form he presents himself. Right, that's why it's not, we're not going after a specific nation. We'll see what Salvation says. Most of you heard this, but I'm not sure you saw it inside. In the Rav's words itself. This is the Rav's words himself on this. I would say it was beneath the dignity of God to declare an internal war against a Bedouin tribe. Amalek will only be defeated at the commencement of the Messianic era. No one will be able to defeat Amalek. The final defeat of Amalek will take place when the King Mashiach arrives. So who is Amalek? It's not just a Bedouin tribe. It's not a race, a specific group or nationality. It is a man who went berserk. Man who incarnates total evil. It is man Satan. Man can be created in the image of God or in the image of Satan. It is a man demon. I once heard from my father, the name of my grandfather, Chaim, that a Malik is any group of people who are committed to one purpose, the destruction of the Jewish people. Such a group is classified as a Malik. If one writes on his banner, if this is their flag, let us cut them off from being a nation that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance, then he's an Amalek. Okay? Quite often a Malek, or man Satan, succeeds in his attempt to gain power and to cause untold sufferings to millions or hundreds of millions of people. You have to realize that Hitler, who was a Malek, this Messiah is about to say, he killed 6 million Jews, but his war caused 50 million deaths in the world. Right? I mean, it was unbelievable kind of Gehenna that was unleashed because of him. And he's going to give you other examples and see what I mean. Most of you are young, but I'm speaking to a people as old as I am. There is no doubt that it was that Hitler was a Malik. I am speaking in halachic terms. Hitler and his entourage were a Malik. There is no doubt that Stalin had the status of a Malik. He killed millions of people, Stalin. Millions. Okay? And look, and you know he affected the Jews. Look what he did in Russia. All the Jews who said that we're going to follow communism, communism was a Jewish movement. Okay, it was, there's so many Jews were involved in it. Leon Trotsky. I mean, all the Jews who said we're going to come over to that side and we're looking for emancipation, they were deceiving themselves. So who comes? Hashem sends to Stalin. What does Stalin do? He locks them up for 50 years in Russia. Look how they suffered there, right? Besides the killings, forget about it. I ain't talking about the killings. There's so many killings, it's unbelievable. Okay, you go to Brezhnev, Mao Zedong. That one I don't understand so much because he's not really after Jews. You know, Mao Zedong didn't kill any Jews, right? He was a leader of the Communist Party. He says, I do not know. I have serious doubts about them. Intuitively, I feel they are also the incarnation of evil and Satan. Okay? So this is Rav Soloveitchik's shot. But again, I think it very much complements what we said. And finally, a word from Rav Victor Miller. I've heard him actually say once from our Rebbe, Rabbeinu Hitler, because we learned so much from him. And this is Hitler's first letter, okay? The first letter he wrote about Jewry. I'm not going to read you the whole thing if you want to see it. But this is why he declares you have to get rid of the Jews. Okay? And he's right about so many things that he says here. Okay? It's just like his conclusion is wrong. Okay? But to begin with, the Jews are unquestionably a race, not a religious community. The Jew himself never describes himself as a Jewish German, a Jewish Pole, or a Jewish American, but always as a German, Polish, or American Jew. Jews have never adopted more than the language of the foreign nations in whom they live. But a German who is forced to make use of the French language in France, Italian, Italy, Chinese in China, does not thereby become a Frenchman, Italian, or a Chinaman, nor can we call a Jew who happens to live amongst us and who is therefore forced to use the Jewish language of German. He'll never be a German. Now, isn't that very interesting? What we learned just now, okay, is that a Malek transcends national borders, and he'll be a Persian, he'll be a Nazi, he'll be all different types of people, okay, that he can transform himself into. You see that, you know, Hitler was saying the same about us, and he's talking right? We never become a true German, okay? If you go ahead and you walk in the streets in Italy and you see a Jew, your eyes will light up. Okay, even though he can't even speak the same language, but you know he's a Jew because you see the way he's dressed, you see the way he acts. You know he's a Jew. It's like a machaya to us, right? So you see that this is another example how Esav and Yaakov are mamish polar opposites, twins but the opposite. A Malik is the opposite of us. Yeah, they're also. Hitler also is not. You know, is not a. The Amalekim are also not a specific, you know, religion or anything like that. They are a race, and they are, you know, they cut straight through because. was through inbreeding of thousands of years, often in very small circles, the Jew has been able to preserve his race and his racial characteristics much more successfully than most of the numerous people among whom he lived. Okay? And he goes, he says a little later on, their dance around the golden calf becomes a ruthless struggle for all the possessions that we feel deep down are not the highest and not the only ones worth striving. He talks about the money. And then he has another, he says, the value of an individual to a Jew, this is what Hitler holds, is no longer determined by his character or by the significance of his achievements for the community, but solely by the size of his fortune, his wealth. So you see, so his taina is against us, is not like he told us, we call us another, call us other. His taina, the Hitler's taina was that the Jews are after money. Now the truth is, if a Jew goes ahead and he lives his life just trying to find money, okay, then this is correct. This will bring on a Molech. Okay, it is a toiva. It is a toiva to act that way. And of course, Baruch Hu has measures to take care of us when we act in a toivatic way, right? And he's pointing this out, justifying why he's going to do what he eventually does, which is come after us. And if the Jews would have, instead of trying to become more involved in Germany and trying to become more involved in Russia, would have maybe stayed in their ghettos or would have, you know, not tried to mix and assimilate, then Hitler would never have been able to say this or exist. He wouldn't have come on. He wouldn't have noticed Jews. Right? The more we're confident that we're not like the guy, the more we're honest, and the more we're straight, okay, the less acceptable we are to this kind of an insult to Hitler. So that's it. That's the big message. So the idea of dressing up on Purim, okay, is, I think, to remember that a Molech, okay, comes in all sorts of, it's reminds us that a Molech comes in all sorts of disguises, okay? And you know, the truth is, to whatever degree we don't act like ourselves, and we don't act like what we're supposed to act like, okay, we need to constantly show that we are aware of this. We're putting on this costume with a full awareness, you know, that we need to take off the costume at the Purim, okay, and be honest and be straight and realize that we are a nation, an independent nation, who has to excel at issues of honesty, etc. And it could also be that part of the reason why we get drunk on Purim, okay? Part of the reason we get drunk on Purim is sort of any layers of inhibition that we have that try to bring out the outside. Hopefully that outside is really, really good. And if it's not, then we need to make a serious special nefesh after Purim and to see where we're headed. You know, when we expose ourselves, who are we? When we take off all those layers, are we honest? Are we proper? You know, do we have we're doing the things the way we're supposed to be doing, or are we leaving ourselves vulnerable to our Malik? Okay, Shkaya, thanks for coming. An easy test and a meaningful test. Yeah. Anyone who has a little bit, I'm happy to learn.